Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of September, recording at 5:23 p.m. British Summer Time. I won't be able to say that for much longer, will I? British Summer Time, that is. I'll be recording here till, for a very long time, hopefully. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the four main asset categories that I cover. And I will also tie that in a little bit with some of the immediate action, as I usually do. But first, big picture, primary trends. Wall Street is in a secular bear market, which I define here as a generation of P/E ratio contraction, and of course also accompanied by rising yields, not in any straight linear fashion, but in a series of rolling waves for the markets. Hardly doom and gloom, a secular bear market. You just need to know that we will get medium-term moves on the upside rather than long-term major bull runs, and we'll get some bungee jumps on the downside, and we'll get lots and lots of sideways ranging. We can all live with that. And of course, there's always something that's going to way outperform. If it's going to be a developed market, my hunch is that that'll be Japan more often than not. But the runaway stars over the next decade or more are going to be emerging markets, and they'll come from a number of different continents, of course. And that's where they are, but the better ones, in my view, or the safer ones, I should say, maybe both, will be in Asia. And that's where I concentrate most of my funds. But anybody who's in the resources area outside of Asia, Brazil, a good example, those markets should do well. They should do very well indeed. But remember, emerging markets are high beta, and they're going to be more volatile than anything else. But whereas Wall Street will be in a sideways trading range, I suspect, with the S&P 500 index unable to break through its 2000 high, I wouldn't be surprised if it did not break that high meaningfully at any time over the next 10 or 15 years. And as far as the NASDAQ is concerned, it could take 30 or 40 years before that high is actually exceeded. Now, the difference with some of these emerging markets, though, and I'll put India at the top of my list, subject to governance, is that they will get some tremendous moves on the upside, moving to new high ground, and then the sell-offs will more often than not bottom out above previous lows, and sometimes considerably above previous lows. Now, where are we right now in the very short-term picture? And I believe that a consolidation is taking place. That's a minority opinion, by the way, for better or worse, because most technicians feel that having seen markets rally commencing in the middle of August and run on up to the higher side of their range, and I'm talking now primarily about the European markets and Wall Street, of course, that having seen those upward moves, getting overbought and up near prior resistance, and then faltering in the last few days, or commencing a reaction, losing upside momentum in the last few days, that they're going to go right back down to the August lows and probably beyond, because that's what they've seen really since early in this year. I feel, as you know, that because of Bush being ahead in the polls, there's a good chance that we might do somewhat better. As I've said before and illustrated, that can be worth 10 percentage points in terms of the annual performance on Wall Street during an election year. Now, I also said that the oil price needed to not run back up and through the $50 level, and now that's what's really in question here right now. And I've written a lot about oil, and I'll go on to that a little later on. But the oil price, suffice it to say, is at an uncomfortably high level for stock markets here right now. And the other factor is interest rates. If investors fear that interest rates are just going to rise and rise and rise, then the market's in trouble. On the other hand, if they feel, this is a seeming paradox, if they feel that growth isn't going to be so good, and therefore that inflationary pressures are not going to be that high, they may or may not be related, those two factors. But I'm talking about psychology here, investor psychology. So if investors feel that circumstances have mitigated the upward pressure on interest rates, then they're going to be a little bit more optimistic, more often than not. But my hunch is still, despite this strength that we see in the oil price, is that what we're seeing here is a consolidation, and that we then may get markets moving a bit higher in, say, from the latter part of October onwards. And I'm impressed by the continued strength of some of the emerging markets, but needless to say, if Wall Street were to go into a tailpin, they would get pulled down as well. How am I playing it? Well, not aggressively. I think it's still a dangerous time overall, and I have a speculative long position in the Nikkei. It's costing me a little bit of money at the moment. I hedged that with a speculative short position in the S&P future. That's making a little bit of money at the moment. I'm not going to be aggressive in these markets, and I did pick up a little bit more of that Aberdeen New Tie fund, and I'm holding others. I also have pension fund money in some various gold and mining funds. Okay. Now, let's move on to the next asset class here, which would be government bonds. I think these rallies that we've been seeing are living on borrowed time. I don't think they're discounting some imminent economic collapse, although you can't rule out any scenario and have an open mind. But they have remained generally steady. A little bit of profit taking in here today, I noticed, in the U.S. Treasuries, but we're only talking about down 5/32 as I speak, and less than a quarter of a point on the euro bunds. The JGBs were firm. So I've illustrated these in recent months. I think that the secular bear market, and recent days, I should say, that the secular bull market ended in June 2003, and we're in a top development stage, and secular bull markets are usually followed by secular bear markets, not surprisingly. So what would I be looking for? Well, I would be looking for a generation or so of rising yields, obviously not in any sort of linear form, but in rolling waves. But right now, as I say, we're in the top extension phase, and I'm waiting for a technical signal before shorting JGBs and U.S. Treasury bond futures. And the higher they go in the short to medium term on this rally that began in May, the better. Before I actually see the signal to short them. Okay, moving on to the currency markets. Here we don't get the same ultra long-term trends. I had somebody say, well, wait a minute, what about the breakup of Bretton Woods and the long period prior to that? Well, talking about that when was Bretton Woods ended? I think it was 1971 when Nixon abandoned it. We'd had fixed exchange rates for quite a lengthy period. Well, that's very much of an artificial environment. And Nixon pulled out of Bretton Woods because the dollar was overvalued against other currencies. And as a consequence of that, the dollar had experienced pretty dramatic devaluation against other reserve currencies. But once that process was all unwound and we get back to what's usually the norm, of what has been the norm now since 71, of free-floating exchange rates, aside from groupings such as the euro and the occasional currency board peg against the US dollar, We don't get secular bull and bear markets, as in generation long, because, as I've said before, no country can really withstand currency that's appreciating too much. Good example of that is the Swiss franc. You know, people used to say the Swiss franc is as good as gold. Well, that worried the Swiss so much in terms of deflationary pressures that the Swiss National Bank sold just about all of its gold. You know, so we're in an area of fiat currencies, paper money, in other words, and they have been printing and printing in sort of low-key competitive devaluations, and sometimes not so low-key. And we're going to see plenty more of that. Right now, I wouldn't do anything. I'm not doing anything in the currency markets. They're in very tight ranges. But I do suspect that, against the general view for the US dollar, that it is building some sort of medium-term base, and it may go on building that for, well, I would expect it to spend longer in the sideways trading range, but as you know, every sideways trading range is an explosion waiting to happen. Okay, but I'm not going to say, I'm not expecting that explosion anytime soon. And we'll get advance warning on the charts, or we'll certainly get a good signal when any kind of meaningful trend is about to, or is commencing. Now, though, the printing of currencies here is the really big story behind all of these supply and elasticity trades. This is a fascinating area. I have had some people say, well, you know, I'm not interested in these commodities you're talking about. Well, that's your choice, but my attitude is I go where the action is. And that all these markets are man-made resources for us to harvest when the timing is right. And the timing, I would suggest, is much more interesting in the supply and elasticity trades than it is in most other market areas. Now, metals, this is a little bit tricky here in the short term. Some of them are very steady, and to my chagrin, I wish I hadn't sold my palladium shortly after I got back from holiday. I actually took a loss on that position because I thought, well, this is lagging here. Sure, it's cheap, but it's looking a bit soft. It could go lower into that long-range base, and it must be at least $15 higher than where I sold it. Would have been a profit, in other words, but c'est la vie. And some of these other metals, and aluminium, which, you know, I'm a big bull of all these things on the longer term basis, but I thought they were looking a little bit pricey and we'd get some downside moves, so I shorted that aluminium, and of course it did nothing but go up. And so you could say I didn't have my eye in immediately in terms of getting back from holiday. And if you don't say it, I'll say it. Repeat it. But aluminium, that will change, hopefully. But aluminium, a little softer in here today, down 9 as I speak. That's not the final figure, but it's overbought short term, and I'm waiting to cover that. But these metals look a bit expensive in the short term, so I'd be surprised if they did anything dramatic on the upside at this stage. But remember, if it's a secular bull market, the surprises will usually be on the upside, even for the people who are bullish. So it's an area where one can hold core positions in funds, but if you're dealing in the futures, those need to be traded. In terms of gold, just good and steady overall. It's down nearly $2 here today at 408.30, but it's been a steady performance overall. We're seeing some profit taking in silver, which is down 9.5 in here today. I mean, silver's been quite steady recently. That pulls it back to 520. Beg your pardon. No, I was catching the wrong thing. I beg your pardon. That was soybean silver. December silver, let me get this right, is down 4 as I speak. That's at 6.43. It was down almost 9 a little short while ago, but it's picked up a bit off those lows. I'm hugely bullish of silver on a long-term basis, but hoping I get another chance to get back into that market. I'm currently on the sidelines at a somewhat lower level. Chart's not favoring me at the moment, though. Although there is a little bit of resistance up here at this at the 650 level, which I touched today, got up to 651 and backed right off. Now let's talk about some of the soft commodities, and this is a tricky area to deal with thin markets. They can get some very explosive news on supply change rumors, not to mention supply change events. And soft commodities are one of the few areas where the fundamentals can literally change overnight. And having mentioned soybeans in another context, soybeans are really quite soft in here right now. I had an email asking if I still had a position there and what I was doing, and actually thought I do have a small position there, and that's a position that is underwater. And I'm looking, but this is so depressed. I'll put up some charts of this. The price is back into the base formation. Now, it was China that drove soybeans up last year and at the beginning of this year, and it's China pulling out of the market that's caused them to fall back down. China doesn't produce enough soybeans. They'll be back in the market. It's just a matter of will it be this month, next month, or sometime early next year. I don't know the answer to that, but we'll see it on the charts, including any other demand that comes in. The chart is looking overstretched. The first dynamic I see on the upside on soybeans, I'll point out and post it. Either Owen or I will do that, and I will be buying more soybeans at that time. Other depressed commodities. I've been talking about these for months now. I remember there was orange juice a few months ago, and it was down, became so depressed, and then started to give some steadier signals, and some of us participated in that. Got quite a good rally. Coffee more recently has given some quite good technical action. I was a bit concerned by yesterday's reaction, but it's up $2 here as I speak today at 83.05 on the December contract for the that's the December Arabica contract. I bought some of the coffee, the UK traded coffee, yesterday, not at a good level. It then fell back and dipped lower this morning. I should have placed an order in the market because I wanted to add on that weakness, but dipped way down to 670, but then closed up at 704, up 16 on the day. It's very good technical action on the day. I will hope for another chance to buy some cheap coffee with near the lower side of its current trading range next week. I'm talking about the Robusta contract now. And looking at a number of these grains, Owen and I are watching them very carefully. Things like corn and wheat, in addition to the soybeans, cocoa, because I think we will see some more trading opportunities in those markets. Now, I'm not going to try to pretend that I could do fundamental analysis on these things. It's one has to be on location. It's too much of a specialist field. You take something like sugar, for instance. How do you analyze that fundamentally when it's consumed by every country in the world? Makes it difficult to measure the consumption side, and it's produced by most countries in the world. Well, I can't do that fundamentally. I'll let the charts do that, and the charts will move for maybe fundamental changes or potential fundamental changes, or just because some hedge funds decide that this is where they wish to move. And the art in this game, or part of the art of this game, is to see the signal early and to move in just above, just before that horde, and hopefully out a little bit before them as well. Not always easy, but that's what we aim to do with this service. So now, last but not least, certainly, what about oil? And incidentally, I rolled over a natural gas position in here today. That's down a bit today. That was down a little bit yesterday, but had been really quite strong recently. And I think has further potential once the current gains are consolidated. Oil overbought in the short term, up near prior resistance, so we shouldn't be surprised if it backed off here a little bit. But overall, those petroleum charts remain really very bullish. So as I've said before, it's all for the bears to prove. We need to see some thumping great downward dynamic in here to really change sentiment significantly. And release from the U.S. strategic reserves would achieve that, but with Bush ahead in the polls, I think that's very unlikely, because it would be described as a very political action. Well, that's my wrap, folks, for another week. There's been lots of copy on the website this week, including reports. I hope you found that more useful than not. And otherwise, I'll just say, one more thing to mention. That is Owen's pork bellies. Gosh, how could I shouldn't have forgotten those. Those were up. I remember Owen bought the pork bellies on Monday, put that chart up. He bought up near the higher side of the range, but was banking on a breakout, a sustained breakout above that 100 level on the February pork bellies. And they were limit up yesterday, and they're quite steady in here today. Have a fantastic weekend.